11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill, Alex Dunn and Pete Farries here to look at the best of the Championship this weekend. A few games to go out on TV this weekend, three of them in fact, one on Friday, one on Saturday and one on Sunday. We'll get to those in just a moment. First things first, hello Mr. Farries, how are you?
Finishing a brunch bar.
Yeah. How was it?
I'll say half a brunch bar. It was alright, only did it to keep the old blood sugars going, but yeah, it was all right. They're only a pound, so I got them on offer. Yeah, I'm okay. A little frustrated at the moment by the Naps table, but as we were saying before I came on air, I've never actually finished in negative on Naps. It's always been a positive finish if you've been following every week. So, yes, I need to pull my finger out. I'm aware of that. Give myself a slap on the wrist. Last week was Berry. Took the lead through an own goal. I got all cocky on the sofa at home, and then I had to watch after wave of Peterborough just dominated the living daylights out of Berry. So, listen, can I say that this is the week of the Championship that I think has got the best value in it this season?
Okay.
I think this is the best value week in the Championship this week. I really do. There's some great big prices. And these TV games are all crackers as well, I think.
Yeah, we've got three to go at. We'll start with the Friday night game, which is Cardiff against Bristol City. 9-5 for a home win. The draw 23-10. Bristol City in the betting at 8-5. So Bristol City edging favouritism here, and that's probably because Cardiff have been pretty abject so far this season. Now, we have had the international break, of course, but last time we saw Cardiff, they lost at Burton. Bristol City have had a really good start to the season. In Tammy Abraham, they've got a striker who can do very little wrong at the minute. And I think I would make them favourites. Yeah, I'm still surprised to see them favourites in the betting, purely because Cardiff-Bristol City, if you put it this way, at the start of the season, you'd probably be looking at Cardiff close to even money.
Yeah, I agree. What I would say is that I think the Warnock effect has had a little bit of an effect on this market as well.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see the price before Neil Warnock walked in, but I'd imagine that he did maybe change things a little bit. The three players he signed, Marouane Chamakh, I'm just going to say that name and just leave it there. Saul Bamba, who made a huge amount. I think he's a very honourable man, Saul Bamba, I've got to say, but he did make a huge amount of mistakes at Leeds, didn't he? Especially mistakes that killed Leeds at times in games. Are you telling me that someone like Saul Bamba can deal with the pace, the guile that Tammy Abraham is showing right now?
You'd think no.
9 goals in his last 10 matches, 9 goals in the league generally, scored, of course, in the international break, Tammy Abraham as well. He's 23-20 anytime. I mean, will you find a better anytime goal scorer punt this weekend? I don't think you will.
He's absolutely lethal at the minute, isn't he?
He's terrifying. Mm. He's terrifying. So 23-20 Tammy Abraham is brilliant. Listen, I think that Cardiff have done the right thing here. They've realised that they're in a real, real mess, and they've called for the man who tends to, you know, tidy messes up.
But Kieran Richardson is the third, isn't he? Player that
yes, I think so, yeah.
And they're all sort of solid, if you know what I mean. I mean, Chamakh's a funny one, because if you go back, granted, you are going back a fair way now, but he was one of Europe's most up-and-coming strikers, wasn't he, at one point?
He was, but the fact is he hasn't scored a lot of goals for a long time. Junior Hoylett was the other one as well, of course. There was Junior Hoylett.
Has Richardson signed as well, then?
Yes, he has, yeah. Richardson, Chamakh, Bamba and Hoylett. But they won't be match sharp anyway. So you might be that it's a non-match sharp Saul Bamba going into this side. A non-match sharp Marouane Chamakh. The fact is here, though. Listen, you're a punter. I'm a punter. 8-5 Bristol City is, to my mind, ridiculous. The enhanced odds offer here of Wilbraham to score and Bristol City to win up from 15-4 to 5-1. That's an absolute beauty. Because the fact of the matter is that Cardiff's only wins this season have come against the other two teams in the relegation zone. Blackburn and Rotherham. They haven't won apart from that. How can you play that kind of market when Bristol City have won 4 games back-to-back in all competitions? They've won 3 back-to-back in the league. They've drawn against Derby. They were actually unlucky, don't forget, against Sheffield Wednesday. Last-minute winner for Sheffield Wednesday, although Bristol City would be annoyed. They were 2-0 up in that game before losing it. There's just not a way that you can convince me that in terms of value in this market, Cardiff are that. You just can't. Okay, who's got the better goal scorers? Oh, well, Bristol City. Who's got the better defence? Bristol City. And Neil Warnock might well save Cardiff. You save Rotherham from a worse position last time around. But that doesn't matter because it won't happen immediately, I don't think. And he, like I say, he did have an immediate impact on Rotherham. But Bristol City have got too much for me. And they've got too much up front. And the markets are too good as well. I mean, let's be fair. Like we say, Tammy Abraham to score. I mean, him to score in a Bristol City 1-0, 2-0, 2-1 from 5-1 to 6 is... I'm not against necessarily Cardiff scoring. I mean, don't forget Bristol City do concede. Sheffield Wednesday, Derby, Forest. But I just can't be with Cardiff. And I'm sure many punters can't be with Cardiff. And this evening, I have to be with Bristol City.
Okay. Bristol City then getting the nod at 8-5 in that clash on Friday night. We'll move to the Saturday tea time game then. It's Aston Villa against Wolves. Villa 19-20, the draw 12-5, and Wolves are 16-5. Another club with a new manager in Steve Bruce at Aston Villa. Coming in, and you'd imagine that he'll have the desired effect. He's a very, very solid championship manager. And he's got a decent squad to work with. Mm. There's been plenty of upheaval in recent months at Villa. This is yet more, but it's probably the most solid thing that they've done in the last few months. They've got a good squad. I still won't want to back them at odds on, though, against the Wolves side, who are very up and down, Jekyll and Hyde, but when they're on form, they're very, very good.
Yeah, as Newcastle will attest to, of course. Wolves went to Newcastle when they were in fine fettle Newcastle, and Wolves still picked them off, as you well know, Alex. This for me is a weird one. It's one of those difficult kind of conundrums as a punter, because I'm under absolutely no illusion that, in my opinion, Aston Villa win this match. However, as a punter, I'm looking at 19-20 and thinking, do I want to play that? Of course, no league win for Aston Villa since, what, that 3-0 victory at home over Rotherham right back in August. I think it was the 13th of August, their last win, and of course a ton of draws, mainly draws, of course, since then. So in the end, I would say Villa win, but I in the end just went for other markets, you know, in this game. So first and foremost, Ross McCormack is 6-4 anytime. He's got a really good record, 4 goals in 7 against Wolves for Ross McCormack. So he actually is a guy who likes to play Wolves. I'll double check that amount of games, but it's certainly 4 goals. Mm. He's been absolutely superb. And he's, again, he's a guy who's fresh because, even though he should have been called up by Scotland, he's still not taken by Gordon Strachan. Jordan Rhodes, I can understand because he's not playing, but he continues not to play Ross McCormack, which to me is it's a very strange. It's obviously Strachan's decision, but he shouldn't have yelled at me in that press conference that time, Gordon Strachan. So so he should be taking Ross McCormack. But 6-4, Ross McCormack anytime is an absolute definite. There are some enhanced odds offers. I mean, McCormack to score, Villa to win, up from 23-10 to 3-1. But the both teams to score was probably my favourite bet in this game at 10-11. Steve Bruce's side, they do tend to be very solid, but of course, 4 of the last 5 home games for Villa, both teams to score has landed. Both teams to score in terms of Wolves games is a regular lander. It's landed in the last 3 in a row, for example. And Wolves have actually done better than I thought they would do under their manager this season so far. Losing at Huddersfield, no stress about that whatsoever. Great wins at Birmingham and Newcastle. Losing at Wigan, though, I know it was a late loss, but losing at Wigan will hurt them, and it wasn't a great performance, particularly that day from Wolves. The over 2.5 is a definite for me as well. I think even money is great value for over 2.5. If you think both teams to score, but you think that Villa are going to win, as I, to be honest, do, then that's a great market. That even money for over 2.5 takes out the Villa win. If you want to play both teams to score and Villa win, 16-5. It is a really tough match, this one. You know, like I say, it's a really, really tricky one, but ultimately, I did side with Villa. I just think that Steve Bruce has had a couple of days to turn things around a little bit, maybe not as much as he would like. I wouldn't be surprised to see them go 3 at the back, because that tends to be how Steve Bruce has been going the last couple of years. They still have McCormack and they still have Kodjia, of course, who can really score goals. Prince Onyangwe, by the way, is an intriguing one. He's scored a fair few goals this season for Wolves. If you're looking for a Wolves goal scorer, then 9-2 for Onyangwe. Struggle with that one a little bit. He scored against Wigan last time out. 2 goals this season, but has certainly done pretty well the last away game he scored in. So that could be the play. It is a tough game, really, to find loads of value. But I think in the both teams to score and the over 2.5, you found ones for your coupons. I would go with Villa. I wouldn't go flying with Villa.
Okay, Villa getting the nod, though. And I must say, I don't nap on this podcast anymore. But if I was going to, I think at the prices... we mentioned we like Tammy Abraham at the prices. Yeah. I really like Jonathan Codger. I think he's an absolutely fantastic striker.
Same price as McCormack, 6-4,
yeah,
isn't he?
He was 6-4, and I just think that is... I think across the course of the season, if you're backing him at 6-4 every week, you're going to make more money than you lose. I think he's absolutely fantastic, and it's just a matter of time until he really starts to score plenty of goals for that Villa side.
I agree. His movement is brilliant. Mm. He's got great movement. He's a strong guy as well. Hey, to tell you what, live on this podcast, just because I've got his record, why don't we quickly see if we can find his record against Wolves?
Go on, then.
Shall we?
I just think he's probably my favourite Championship player that does not play for Newcastle United, which is quite an accolade.
Really?
Yeah. I just think he's absolutely superb. And, of course, he was at Bristol City last year. They've now got Tammy Abraham. I mean, Bristol City just keep managing. I know that he's only on loan, Abraham, but they just keep managing to churn these top-quality strikers out. And, well, it's going to land them in good stead, isn't it?
Played twice against Wolves as Jonathan Codger. Scored once.
Yeah,
so
right
1-2 for Codger against Wolves.
Bodes moderately well. But, yeah, he'd probably be my best bet at 6-4 any time this weekend.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
Okay, we'll move on to the Sunday game then. Midday kickoff for Huddersfield against Sheffield Wednesday. Huddersfield are 8-5, the draw 11-5, and Sheffield Wednesday are 15-8. Huddersfield, they just don't stop, do they? We thought that they may do when they lost at Brighton and they bounced back with a win against QPR. We thought they may do when they lost at Reading and they bounced back with a win at home to Rotherham. And they got an away win at Ipswich last time, which is key because it was their away form that was, in inverted commas, letting them down, although they're still having a fantastic season. Sheffield Wednesday, though, four runners for promotion at the start of the season. Maybe not quite living up to that billing so far. They sit in ninth spot. And again, it's their away form that has been the problem. But again, they did win away from home last time they were away from home. That was at Blackburn. Really interesting clash this, but I can't understand why Huddersfield are quite 8-5. They've just been so good so far this season, and this is priced up as though it's still the third game of the season and they've won the first two, and it's not. We're 11 games in now. They're still there.
They are serious and official contenders. I don't know if you remember back to the very first podcast of the season, Alex, but I said I think Huddersfield will have a really good season.
Mm.
I will put my hands up and say, though, I didn't think it'd be this good. I thought the way they'd turned things around last season was really impressive. They have been unbelievable. I agree that 8-5 is amazing. If this was at Hillsborough, I'd have a bit of a wobble about Huddersfield.
Mm.
But Sheffield Wednesday under Carlos Carvajal are not that good a side away from home, remember? That was what cost them an automatic promotion place last season. They won just 6 times away from home last year. And they've won just once so far, and that was against Blackburn at Ewood Park. Up against Huddersfield, have won every home game this season.
Mm.
And here's another little thing for you that I picked out that I thought was an interesting little trend. There are quite a lot of teams in this... that you would consider not rivals necessarily for Huddersfield, but you know, teams in this part of the world that it's short distances to travel or to have come to you. Leeds, who probably are a bit of a rival, they beat Rotherham, who aren't far away either. They of course beat Barnsley. So in all the teams who've been going there, who live locally, or of course when they've been going to those living locally teams, Huddersfield have won those games. They've won those games. 8-5 is brilliant. Wednesday aren't a side on the road you need to be happy with. Yes, they got a draw at Brentford, which is impressive because Brentford are good, especially at home. They got a draw against Norwich again, which is impressive. Battered at Burton, though. Beaten at Birmingham City. A win at Blackburn doesn't bother me whatsoever. I don't care about that, to be honest. Whereas Huddersfield, yes, they've had some weakish teams like Rotherham go there. Barnsley, Brentford, Wolves, QPR. Solid teams. Brentford a decent one, but solid teams. But 8-5.
It is a very, very big price. And the thing that stands out for me as well, I think we've mentioned it on previous podcasts, but I'm going to bring it up again because it keeps landing. Every single Huddersfield win, there have been 8 of them, has been by a single goal.
Well, I was about to say, all 5 at home, obviously. Mm. I mean, obviously, all the games have been by a goal. That was literally the next place I was going, Alex. 3-1 for that. Just running down the home form wins 2-1, 2-1, 1-0, 2-1, 2-1. Of course, the 2-1, a regular lander there as well. You might fancy the 2-1 on the correct score market. That's not a bad price at 17-2. But you're absolutely right. I mean, Burton were doing this last season in the Championship, in League One. They were doing it by a goal every time. And you'd be amazed at how that sort of settles its way into your game. I just love that 3-1, the handicap margin. I love Huddersfield here at 8-5. I wouldn't be against Huddersfield and both teams to score because the 2-1 has been landing a fair bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
I like Elias Kachunga to score in this as well. He's 7-4, the former Ingolstadt man. He's got 3 goals in the league this season. All 3 have come at home for Huddersfield as well. The fact of the matter is that I'm staring down the barrel right now of a top-of-the-table Huddersfield who aren't doing this by fluke. This isn't after 4 games, like you quite rightly said. This is after 11. who've been dispatching local teams whenever they've played them, against a side who've got just 7 away wins since the start of last season. An incredibly impressive side, Sheffield Wednesday, no question, but away from home, absolutely, utterly, thoroughly gettable. Huddersfield are 8-5 in this market. I told you at the start of this podcast, I felt this week offered some of the best championship value we have seen. I think this is an example of that. I think 8-5 on Huddersfield is an absolute jam sandwich of a treat.
Okay, Huddersfield at 8-5. Just a couple of things to maybe put you off that. Or just something that I've just seen, really, that could be potentially interesting. Firstly is that the last 5 head-to-heads between Huddersfield and Sheffield Wednesday have seen Huddersfield fail to score in the last 5 head-to-heads at Huddersfield.
Oh, at Huddersfield, right, okay.
So you're going back to the 3rd of January 2011 for the last time Huddersfield scored at home to Sheffield Wednesday. If that bothers you, Huddersfield are a very different side.
They're a different, complete. This is my problem with head-to-heads and regular listeners.
Oh, you can read way too much into them. But it's just an interesting
thing. Yeah, no, absolutely. You know. Yeah. I mean, regular listeners to InPlay Radio will know that. And to be fair, regular listeners to this podcast will know that. Mm. I ain't a head-to-head player. I don't mind in, I mean, slightly more in this kind of game, you know, localish rivals or that kind of thing, that where the X factor's there, I can believe, you know, Derby Forest, for example, I'll always look at head-to-head, that kind of thing. But generally speaking, I don't like them, especially, I mean, this is a prime example in a way, because Huddersfield were constantly fighting to get out, you know, to stay in the league.
They have
right
completely
now,
changed.
They're fighting to get out of the league.
It's almost a different side, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's why it's a bit dangerous with that kind of thing. But again, listen, I might be wrong. I'm often wrong on this podcast, but I don't often sort of argue against other people's points. You know, it's all relative with this. But for me, I think if this was a court of law, you would find Huddersfield guilty of being great value because all the evidence is there.
That's dreadful, but thanks.
It's not dreadful. That works perfectly.
It does work perfectly, but it's just it's classic radio.
this is great banter. It really is.
The other thing I was just going to say, and it may be just for coincidence, backers, Sheffield Wednesday, as we've said, not great away from home.
No.
Last time they did win twice in a row on the road, which of course they'd be bidding to do here, was last season when they won at Forest and then at Huddersfield.
Wow.
Who knows? Will it happen again?
That's a genuinely interesting little statoid.
Genuinely interesting. But I'm with you. I think Huddersfield, great value at 8-5. Right, some cracking other stuff going on in the Championship that isn't on TV. I'll hand it back to you, Mr. Farries, for the best of your picks in the Saturday 3 p.m. kickoffs.
Right then, so let's have a look at the other Championship bets, shall we? And Blackburn host Ipswich on Saturday at 3 p.m. Blackburn 6-4, the draw 11-5, Ipswich 21-10. It's very hard here to back Blackburn for me. They are a side who have struggled a great deal. Yes, Ipswich aren't great, but have played 4 tough teams when losing in the last 5. And of course, won the other one. Ipswich are a team that you don't particularly fancy away from home, but at 21-10, and certainly in the market at draw no bet Ipswich, I could take that gamble. The draw no bet, by the way, is 11-10. Blackburn may well have a bit of an injury problem with one of their main goal scoring threats in Marvin Emnes, and really for me he has been one of the bright spots of what's been a fairly grim season. But losing to Huddersfield, losing to Leeds for example for Ipswich is not a massive deal. They drew at home against Villa and Brighton, and as I said, their away losses, Brentford, Reading, Leeds at the moment, their sides who are in decent form, especially at home. Their one away win came against another struggler, which was Derby County, and therefore for me Ipswich looked like decent value. There is a couple of intriguing goal scorer picks here though, should you fancy it, and I think there's certainly a couple that I could very strongly get involved in. The first of which is Martin Samuelsson. He's barely played for Blackburn following his arrival on loan from West Ham, but he scored his first international goal midweek, 17-5. Martin Samuelsson, I'll complete his name, Martin Samuelsson, 17-5, is a very good bet. I saw this lad at Peterborough. He is an absolutely stonking player, and I mean a really, genuinely very, very good player. It might be that Ipswich give a game to Monty Patterson as well, the New Zealander, who has been in very good form at international level this week, but he's not currently in the goal scorer markets. He may well emerge. Yes, okay, Ipswich aren't huge goal scorers. They've scored just 8 in the league this season. They have, however, conceded just 9, whereas Blackburn have conceded the 3rd most goals in the Championship. The fact of the matter is, if Blackburn's main striking threat in Marvin Emnes might not be fully fit, And you've got an Ipswich side who I believe can get at weak teams, for example Derby, on the road. I'll happily take Ipswich draw no better at 11-10 or Ipswich at 21-10 on the outright. It's been a tough few weeks on and off the field for Barnsley and Paul Heckingbottom, but they host Fulham on Saturday, and I've got to say, still look like very good value. 6-4 Barnsley, the draw 12-5 Fulham in the market at 15-8. Yes, Fulham have actually been very decent on the road so far this season. They're a side who, away from home, are the league's sixth best. They've picked up two wins and three draws. They're in fact one of just two league sides yet to lose away from home this season. But a lot of that, I think, comes down to who exactly they've played. They've been to Deepdale early season, where they beat Preston. They drew at the time against a struggling Leeds side. They've beaten Blackburn, and they've been to Wigan, and they've been to Nottingham Forest. So really, this is their first big test of the season, Fulham. As for Barnsley, well, they're a very, very good side, aren't they? We know their qualities. Three home wins this season. They picked off Derby, they picked off QPR, and they picked off Rotherham. Losing to Reading is no great shame, and of course, everyone draws against Aston Villa. But Barnsley, for me, are going to start turning this round. The last couple of weeks have come amidst this kind of torrent of off-the-field problems, and I think the international break, certainly from what Paul Heckingbottom was saying, is going to be used to just re-solidify and try and re-find that momentum that has been, of course, lacking in what's been a chaotic couple of weeks. The fact is that Fulham aren't a side who you want to be with, but there is a player here who I always want to be with, and increasingly, in more ways than one. Tom Kearney is 16-5. He's Fulham's top goal scorer. And 16-5 for a man who, again, I put up every blooming week, but he is Premier League standard and he is this football club's top goal scorer so far this season. So 16-5 can't really be argued with in that particular context. Nor can the Conor Hourihane bet. He's also got three goals this season, as well as four assists. The man's been part of a huge percentage of Barnsley's goals this season, and Conor Hourihane in the market for Barnsley, a very intriguing looking 16-5. Adam Armstrong almost went to Fulham on loan at one point and could be intriguing at 15-8. Tom Bradshaw was also very strongly looked at and is 2-1 anytime as well. You've also got to take a little bit of a peek here at just exactly how many goals have been going for and against these sides, because Fulham's away record this season has seen just one overs. Barnsley's home record this season has seen just two unders. I believe that Fulham will be able to score. They have scored in four of their five away games. It's just that at Wigan, at Blackburn, and really at Forest and Leeds, those sides weren't on the day able to score. Whereas Barnsley hit two at home against Derby, three at home against QPR, four at home against Rotherham. So the both teams to score is a definite recommendation at 6-10, and the over 2.5 at 7-10 also in that recommendation market. But ultimately, I think Barnsley will turn it around. Fulham's away record this season, very good. One of just two teams, as I said, not to lose away. But they ain't played anyone yet quite as good as Barnsley. And finally, do you want to play Derby at 5-6 to beat Leeds? I don't think I do. Leeds in this market are 4-1. The draw 12-5. Now, yes, Derby County have, of course, reappointed Steve McLaren 17 months after parting ways with him. But that does not, for me, make for a happy bit of reading. Steve McLaren's record of late not been brilliant. His actual record at Derby last time out was 53% win rate. So not particularly horrendous, but certainly not what would get you out of the Championship. The fact of the matter is that despite a couple of injuries for Leeds, the likes of Stuart Dallas and Calvin Phillips, on top of course, Liam Bridcut, and the fact that Gary Monk will not be on the touchline, of course, suspended after that sending off against Bristol City, those could be negatives for Leeds. But what are the negatives for Derby? The fact that they're the league's lowest goal scorers with six, and yes, they've conceded just 10, but they have very little confidence in front of goal right now, and that does not come under a new manager after just a couple of days. Nigel Pearson, for whatever reason, it didn't work out with him and with Mel Morris. It didn't work out for Derby at all, and they right now are struggling. Plus, at home this season, they have scored just once. We've mentioned that they're not great goal scorers, but they've scored just once. The teams they've beaten this season, Cardiff, struggling, and winning away at Deepdale, which is a decent result. Preston are a decent side, especially at home. Leeds United have won four of the last five games in the league. They beat Blackburn, okay. Cardiff, okay. They beat Ipswich, they beat Barnsley, and had a narrow loss to Bristol City. Away from home, they've lost at QPR, where they were awful opening game of the season. They've lost at Forest, and they've lost at Bristol City, where they actually probably deserved a draw. But they beat Cardiff, and they won at Hillsborough, of course, as well. The fact is, if you gave me Leeds here at 5-6, I would not touch it with a barge pole. If you give me Leeds at 4-1 on the outrights here, I become very interested. 9-4 Leeds draw no bet looks to be an absolutely just gorgeous looking bet. And I mean a really gorgeous looking bet for me. I cannot get away from the fact that this is an incredible price this weekend. Chris Wood has 5 goals in 11 games. Yes, he might have a little bit of tiredness after his exertions over the last week or so, but Chris Wood is still an intriguing play anytime, 21-10. Marcus Antonsson in that market at 14-5. And Pablo Hernandez has been having chances as well recently. He's in the market at 5-1. For Derby, well, it's hard to pick anyone because there's loads of quality there. Matthijs Vydra, James Wilson's very good, Wyman, Ince, Russell, Bent. But the fact is, at the moment, none of them are scoring. Leeds, for me, are definitely the play. 6-4, draw no bet. There is no question their form is better than Derby's. And if Steve McLaren is to turn this around, he won't be able to turn it around just yet. So for me, no question, Leeds draw no bet is the best bet in this game. So what about the nap of the week then? Because obviously we've given 3 great prices there. Huddersfield look phenomenal at 8-5. They really do. Ipswich look phenomenal, I think, at 21-10. Leeds look amazingly big at 4-1 as well, with Barnsley at 6-4. Should I nap Tammy Abraham at 23-20 anytime? I'm going to go on record as saying I think he'll score, but I'm not going to nap it. What I am going to nap, though, is I'm going to play draw no bet Leeds. I'm afraid I'm returning to a Leeds train that last season let me down on quite a few occasions, but it feels like an entirely different club now. 9-4 draw no bet, not the outrights, but 9-4 draw no bet, folks, is my nap of the week. Best of luck.
Thanks to Pete Farries then for his thoughts on the Championship. Let's move to League One, shall we? Gav Poszalowski is going to spin you through his best bets in the third tier of English football.
After the slim pickings of League One football last weekend due to the internationals, it is now back in abundance, and here are my 3 favourite shouts from this weekend. Northampton, my nap selection, going with them first, 13-8 to beat a Millwall side who have lost the last 4 games straight. Northampton at home recently, they did lose 3-2 at home to Bristol Rovers. Over 2.5 goals has landed in 3 of 4 at Sixfield, so maybe just over 2.5 goals is a play. But Northampton on fine form compared to Millwall have lost their last 4 games straight, and in those 4 games have conceded 11 in 4. Millwall are dropping like a stone down League One at the moment. They just can't seem to break the losing habit, and I really fancy Northampton at home at 13-8 to win the game. My second bet is all about Rochdale against Bury, the Greater Manchester derby. And Rochdale, they are the in-form side in League One at the moment, having claimed 16 points from the last 18. Not too long ago, they were sitting bottom of League One, looking for their first victory of the season. Now, in the league and the cup, they've won 6 games straight, and the games can't come quick enough for Rochdale. 23-20 for them to beat a Bury side who have lost their last 3 games straight, 1 in the cup, 2 in the league, and they have started to make defensive errors as well and started to leak a few goals at Bury. So I really fancy Rochdale at 23-20. And my third and final shout is Wimbledon at 21-20, who for the first time in their history, which is not a long history, of course, but they are now above MK Dons, and that's going to boost the entire club, Wimbledon. They're going to be buoyed by that fact, and they are on a good run of form as well, and they're up against a Swindon side who draw a number of games away from home. They've only 1 defeat in 5 on the road, so the draw is a play here, but Wimbledon have started to score goals, a great 3-1 victory away at Oxford, and I think Wimbledon have just really started to find their feet at League One and believe they can now fully compete. And they have actually, in their last 7 goals, one of them has been an own goal, but they've got 6 different goal scorers in their side. So Wimbledon have got goals from all over the place, and I think they're going to continue their good run of form against a Swindon side who are a little bit indifferent, and Wimbledon at 21-20. So that is my third and final shout. So my 3 shouts in League One this weekend are Northampton at 13-8, which is my nap selection, Rochdale at 23-20 and Wimbledon at 21-20. All told, that is just over 10-1.
Thanks, Gav, and thanks to Pete from earlier in the podcast. And we're going to hand over to Al Ross to close the podcast out. Here is Al's thoughts on the best of League Two this weekend. He's going to put forward his nap as well. Best of luck to everyone if you're having a bet this weekend on any of the stuff that we've featured in this podcast or anything else for that matter. And we'll be back next week, Thursday next week as well. Over to you, Al.
When I scanned down this week's prices, there was one that leapt off the page at me, because any side who are top of the league and at home should normally be fairly short. If they've won 9 in 10 in the league, they should be really quite short. If they're playing a side who have lost 3 in 4 away and have a negative away goal difference, they should be very short, the home side. If the away side's lofty league position is largely based on their home form, because that's where they picked up 2/3 of their points, you'd expect the home side to be around 1-5 or something, but they're not. This is Plymouth to beat Portsmouth, not 1-5, but 11-5. Yep, 11-5. If you don't like that price, you want something even bigger, then given over 2.5 goals has landed in each of the last three games for both of these sides, there is always the 4-1 price on Plymouth and over 2.5 goals. Contrast that price with second place Doncaster, for instance, 13-20 they are. I mean, that seems short, but actually it's perfect ACCA fodder to balance out that big opening price. They're at home against Colchester, winless in 6, only 5 goals on the road this season. And you've got to say, at the moment, the Keepmoat Stadium is as formidable to visit as the name would suggest. Only 4 points dropped at home all season so far. So that 13-20, that's fine. They're also far and away the league's top scorers at over 2 goals a game. So Doncaster to score 3 or more goals in this game alone, well, that's 21-10. It's the sort of game in which they could easily manage to do that. So not really rocket science this week, because I'm backing the two top teams and twinning that with opposing the bottom side. Newport, of course, will be hoping for a new manager bounce. 3 problems with that I see. 1, I'm not a big Graham Westley fan. 2, they're away at Yeovil, who've got back to winning ways at home. And 3, this is the big one, Newport aren't very good. Their only win back in the first half of August. They've picked up some draws since, but that's their entire season. So to have Yeovil at home at an odds against price of 5-4, yes please. Now Doncaster, obviously this week's most likely winners. The price would suggest that at 13-20, but I think when you're selecting a nap, you have to take the price into account as well. So the nap this week has to be Plymouth at that staggering 11-5. The treble this week, Plymouth, Doncaster, Yeovil, very simple, and 10.88-1.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with 4 or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops, stop.